I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the second hour, folks. Tonight, we're talking about hair discrimination, how Baltimore City Councilman Robert Stokes has introduced a bill that would ban hair discrimination in the city of Baltimore. This discrimination would cover hairstyles such as locks, afros, curls, twists, braids. But it's an attempt to preserve self-expression and to stop discrimination in workplaces and public institutions. Now, the councilman was talking to us in the first hour, and he gave us the assurance that this bill will become law and that it's going to help employees from being discriminated against. And more importantly, it's going to open up a new conversation about the importance of self-expression. Now, also joining him in this effort is Delegate Stephanie Smith. She is going to be going to Annapolis and for this year's General Assembly, and she is going to propose that on a state level that there should be a ban or some sort of ban on discrimination based on hairstyle and traits associated with race. She was quoted as saying, quote, "To be frank, I wish this was unnecessary. It's not something I'm excited is necessary. Nonetheless, I think it's important." And she says she hopes it isn't dismissed as just a quote unquote women's issue. Yeah. And so we should see how that bill manifests itself as the new General Assembly kicks off tomorrow. But what are your thoughts about this, folks? Hair discrimination in Baltimore City, this piece of legislation and the issue. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Also, we got to talk about how some black folks discriminate against other black people. Black men discriminate against black women for the hairstyles and vice versa. And how we do ourselves a disservice when it comes to hair and self-expression. Join me in for the conversation. 410-319-8888. Let me go back to the line. Let me hear from Dr. Conaway. Dr. Conaway, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, Dr. Conaway?
Hi, Dr. Faraji. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Faraji, I'm okay with expressing yourself. I'm okay with you having whatever hairstyle you want. But you can't be entirely free. And I think there's certain professions that demand a certain degree of professionalism, and that professionalism extends to how you present yourself.
Yeah.
The patient experience starts the minute that patient walks in the door. Now, if you go up to a secretary who is tatted from head to toe with teardrop tats as well on the face, that is not the way you build confidence in your healthcare organization with the patient or the family. Again, I'm okay with tats, but visible tats are just not cool. If you are going into an exam room and the nurse comes out with dreadlocks that are so long that they're practically dangling in your face as a patient, that is not cool.
Now, why isn't that cool? Because, I mean, the nurse is not feeding me food. She's prescribing. She's telling me about my health.
Yes, but she might be examining you. She might be listening to your heart and lungs. And you don't want to get a dreadlock in your eye, Faraji.
Come on, Dr. Conaway. You don't want to get a dreadlock in your eye. Dreadlocks don't come up and attack you, Dr. Conaway. You know that. They stay down. They're pretty dormant.
No, you.
Dr. Conaway, you still with us? See, Doc. You still with us, Doc? Look what happened. Dr. Conaway is trying to make a joke about dreadlocks attacking you in the doctor's office, and guess what happened? got himself cut off. No pun intended. Dr. Carter, I got to disagree with you there. I don't look, if you're dealing with healthcare, I don't care if my doctor has locks. If I'm buying insurance from you, I don't care if you got locks. I don't care if you got twists in your hair. Just as long as you know what you're talking about, you have the knowledge of your profession, you're competent to do your job, and you have the skills. I don't care. If you're serving me food, just wrap it up. That's it. It's very simple, folks. Very simple. And I think we still have these antiquated views about hair, right? And but we then, at the same time, we tell people to be themselves. How is that going to happen? You want people to be themselves, but you want them to be themselves according to you. How does that happen? All right, let me just share with you very quickly just some of the comments on my Facebook pages. We're broadcasting live on Facebook at Faraji Muhammad, FarajiMuhammad. Jamila checked in and said, look, this goes to show the ongoing battle to defend our mere human existence. Wow. I would like to read this bill because it's equally important to give descriptions rather than name hairstyles. For instance, an industry may not flat out say no cornrows, but makes the implication by prohibiting, quote, multiple parts showing the scalp, and so on. I hope this bill has already covered potential loopholes. Jamila, that's a great point. Language makes all the difference in a piece of legislation like that. Great, great point. Kim checked in, my sister Kim Winder. She said, we are not our hair. I am not my hair, bald from India ivory. We are so diverse. I can have multiple styles. That does not determine my intellectual abilities. All right, Kim, I hear you. You're right. Derek checked in and says, minorities have to always remember that we live in a Eurocentric society where to be American means forgetting your culture just to, quote unquote, fit in. For some, it's a constant struggle to make others feel comfortable enough to accept us just to be in their midst. I fully support the bill, even though I generally stay clean cut, because for me, less is better. I have no issues with our ethnic hairstyles as long as it doesn't pose a health or safety risk while performing a job. In my opinion, tattoos are irrelevant in this day and age because it's trendy and it appears that everyone has at least one. And Neil said, look, the legislation is long overdue. However, I hope that all ethnic groups are included in the legislation. I think that it's easy to think that this is just about us black folks, but others must be included for it to be fair. That's a good point, Neil. Very good point. Thank you for your comments. Continue to share your thoughts with me on my Facebook page. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. We got Brother Derek out of East Baltimore. Brother Derek, what's your take on it, sir?
Peace, Brother Faraji. How you feel, sir?
Peace, Brother Derek. I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. This topic, brother. First of all, I have to address a gentleman a few calls back with the Pickaninny demonstration.
Yeah.
With it being 2020, man. I mean, to use that language amongst your own and in the direction of your own, it was pitiful. It was very sad. I just want to address that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, man, like you said, your hair description, as long as it's kept, as long as you're clean. But why is it that when people have locks, that like the gentleman was describing that, oh, it's unclean. I think something's going to jump out of it. Do you feel that way when Caucasians lock their hair?
Mm.
Or is it just us?
Mm.
Or you just had suffering from self-hatred? Because that's what it looks like. We're still trying to break loose from that, Brother Faraji.
Mm-hmm.
The whole self-hatred. So now it's the hair. Then eventually, it'll be your lips.
Mm.
Then your nose. Come on, dressing like that? Come on. So, yeah, it's going to get further and further and further out of control because a large amount of white America, not all, let's be clear, a large amount of white America are making it plain for the way they want to see things. These are their jobs. These are their countries. So it takes us back to owning our own businesses so that we don't have to suffer from someone else's personal want. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I definitely understand.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, Brother Derek, for checking in. We appreciate you checking in from East Baltimore. Jamal, out of Baltimore City. Then we got Brother Bilal Ali, who's checking in. Jamal, what's your take on it, sir?
Peace, Brother Faraji. How are you today?
Peace. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Great topic, bringing out a lot of comments. I just wanted to respond to one of your callers. I think everybody is actually responding to this, brother. You know, look, I participated in lots of protests, and I looked around while I'm in the midst of the crowd, and I could not distinguish between the Africans and the non-Africans. I could not distinguish between Africans and African-Americans. I've watched protests on TV. I was not able to distinguish between Africans and non-Africans. I think, with all due respect to the brother, with all due respect, I think that's a silly comment to say that. A distinction visibly. I've had friends who've gone to Africa, and it's very upsetting to hear that. I've had friends that have gone to Africa, family who have gone to Africa, and they say you can, as long as you don't open your mouth, they will not be able to distinguish between, to say that you are not from Africa. So to make that distinction between, we're all Africans. We're all, this is the science says, that we're all Africans. No matter what your phenotype is, we're all Africans. Some of us have just been gone longer than others. Thanks a lot, brother.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in, Jamal. Let's go to Brother Bilal Ali. Brother Bilal, thank you so much, sir, for wanting to be a part of the conversation. What's your take on this?
I think it's a well-intended, Brother Farad, the legislation. But you can only go so far in terms of trying to legislate something that has a culture implications and also a point of self-expression. Now, the bottom line is you're trying to ask an established culture, meaning a more so a European or European-centric culture in a business environment, because that's where you're going to get the most pushback. People don't really care how you express yourself out in the broader sense of society. But in a corporate environment, you're going to run into certain dress code policies and what's appropriate and what's not. Now, if you want to pay your mortgage and pay your bills, you conform to that policy and procedure. If not, then you can express yourself any way you want to. Now, I see Jay-Z have a hairstyle that's more Afrocentric. You can do that. You're a billionaire.
Right.
But we don't own nothing. And let me just say this, just to qualify something. The company that I work for, I'm the only black in the entire executive team.
Wow.
And I'm the only black. It's the only time I've been in a situation where it's no Afro-American whatsoever. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm the most qualified person and all that. I know what I'm doing, or they wouldn't have never hired me or given me the salary that I'm getting. But, you know, I just be my authentic self. I'm not going to, you know, play some type of part or anything like that. But I got good enough sense to know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Then some of this stuff that's passing off as Afrocentric or my right is really fugazi to me. Now, for lack of a better word. Because some of these kids now, they got this hairstyle called cruddy. And I was saying, what? Cruddy? And it didn't make sense to me.
Right.
Now, you're entitled to do whatever you want to, but at the end of the day, how are you going to support yourself by this form of self-expression? You have to take a real look at it. Even inappropriate dress and interviewing. Ain't nobody going to hire you. When you're coming asking someone to do something for you and compensate you for that, you're going to have to either, like they say, do like the Romans do, or you're going to have to make a way and find your own business, and then you'll be able to do that. You can be like Bill Gates. You know, I don't never see him wearing a tie or whatever.
But I think the point that you made is that, of course, like Bill Gates, Jay-Z, they're at a certain stature. They've acquired a certain place in, you know, financially. So it doesn't, at that level, you can come in there and wear, you know, swimming trunks in a Hawaiian shirt if you want to. It won't matter. It's not like people won't listen. You know what I mean? But here's my thing, Brother Bilal, because you served in the House of Delegates for the state of Maryland. What's the likelihood that this policy or this bill will get the momentum it needs in the General Assembly now that Delegate Stephanie Smith is planning to introduce it into this year's legislation? Is you think it's going to pass?
I would say I'm cautiously optimistic. If you expand the bill for, I've seen some incidents, and I had to go down to Prince George County where we had a Muslim sister that wasn't allowed to participate in a tournament because she wore the hijab. Right. Now Nike and Under Armour and everybody, if it's some type of umbrella that's associated with a religious belief, then you have something different. But a trend and a fashion, I don't think it's going to be rather challenging to get some of these Blue Dog Democrats and whatever they call themselves Democrats to go along with that. And I'm going to tell you another thing, and this may be kind of profound. It goes back again. It's predominantly blacks who do not like these younger, trendy type of styles. What was outdated, and those are the ones that are down there in the nap.
Well, okay. So you're talking about it's more of a generational thing more so than the style itself. It reeks of a generational discord and discomfort.
Right. I would say that's an accurate assessment because the average parent don't want their kids walking around here with the pants hanging off of them and these cruddy haircuts that don't look well kept. You can have a natural haircut, but I'm saying these guys don't even take showers. They go out to the flea market and buy T-shirts and don't even take a shower.
I hear you. Hey, for Brother Bilal, we appreciate you for giving us some insight on the political and former delegate for the 41st District, Brother Bilal Ali, checking in. Let me hear from Kathy. Kathy, then we have RMA. Kathy, what's your take on this?
Hi, Brother Faraz.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I had to call because I've heard so many comments, and I'm glad that the great majority of us are in agreement that this is good legislation. But it is sad sometimes to hear some of the comments that, you know, we as people have been brainwashed and conditioned to think that our hair or our culture is somehow unacceptable or unprofessional. When I hear brothers talk about trends, you know, white folks had trends too in terms of hair, you know, the bouffant or the beehive or the messy bun, all of that's considered trendy. But if we have locks or curly, kinky hair, which is part of us, it's somehow crude or considered messy or unclean. People question that. And to me, that's just a sad commentary as to how we've been conditioned.
So I think it is a sad commentary. The Sun actually put out an editorial in support of this legislation, Kathy. So does that, I mean, from the Sun's point of view, this is long overdue. And let me just share with some folks what they're saying, which is, you know, I think is pretty accurate. They said the need to legislate black hair seems ridiculous on its face. I mean, it's hair. We all have it. It comes in different textures, colors, and lengths, all determined by our DNA. Unfortunately, the natural state of African-American hair isn't deemed appropriate by too many workplaces and other public institutions. African-Americans lose their jobs because of their hair. They are told it is unkempt and unclean when it is not, or that it doesn't fit the image a company is trying to present. Some schools have gone as far as banning Afrocentric hairstyles like braids, twists, and dreadlocks, sending kids home who dare to show up with such styles. Only straightened hair based on European standards of beauty are allowed. This discrimination of African Americans based on bias and subjective views needs to stop. But sadly, we have learned that companies can't be trusted to do it on their own. And so they're saying that's why we're glad to see that the Baltimore City Council will soon take up legislation to ban such discrimination. And it made the point that that this is a no-brainer piece of legislation, because it is also something that should be banned in every county in the state. Such issues might be more of a problem in more conservative areas or places that have smaller African American populations. And so they're in support of this. They're saying, like, this needs to be done. I don't see that this being a problem getting through the city council, Kathy. But when you look at the larger issue, it has created so much tension for so many people. Why is that, considering we are all struggling with this?
In my humble opinion,
yeah,
if you look at the dominant culture here in this country, they don't have a respect for us and or wish to understand us. So you look at their standards of beauty, and I understand everybody has their preference, but when you look at a standard of beauty, when it's considered, you know, European leaning, that's fine for you to have your preference. But in order to understand, you have so many different cultures and races in this country, just to be accepting of, hey, this is something that's different, and this is how they wear their hair, this is the style of dress, that's respect.
Yeah.
And to assume that, well, because you don't have, you know, naturally straight hair, and you don't wish to straighten it, then there's something wrong with you, and you must assimilate, you must conform. That's a problem, because then that adds to the trauma because of all these biases that we have to then change who we are in order to fit into a certain mold, in order to get accepted. So acceptance doesn't equal respect. And what we're looking for is respect here. So this legislation, it doesn't say that it's black women's hair, it's a textured hairstyle, and bans discrimination based on any race. So, you know, I know because we're a majority black city, of course, they're saying, hey, black yourself, and let's focus on that. But that's the whole crux of the matter. It is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for the enlightened. But people who wish to stay in the dark, who wish to stay asleep, who wish to say, yes, that if it's lighter, straighter, it's better, that's a problem. And that's why you need legislation, so that kind of thinking doesn't find its way into policy, that where employers are able to say, well, hey, you don't look like the rest of us. Therefore, that means maybe you're not as smart as us. You can't move up as fast as us because you need to join the club. That has been a problem for decades.
Yeah, absolutely.
This legislation is long overdue.
I love it, Kathy. You said acceptance doesn't equal respect. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, Kathy.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. Ain't that the truth, sister? Thank you so much, Kathy, for being a part of the conversation. Great, great thoughts there. Folks, we got to take our final break. When we come back, RMA, I want to hear what you got to say. And I'm going to share with you some more of the comments coming in on my Facebook page. But, folks, we're talking about hair discrimination. We're talking about the fact that, you know, this is going to change the game, and at least in Baltimore City. But how can we possibly change the game for the whole state of Maryland? And as Bilal Ali, former delegate for the 41st District, talked about, there is a generational divide over hair. How can we stop splitting ends and come together under one common root? You saw how I did that? Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for joining us in this conversation, as we continue the discussion around hair discrimination, talking about a new bill that has been introduced in Baltimore City Council by Councilman Robert Stokes that would ban hair discrimination in the workplace and other public institutions here in the city. Many of you have expressed this is a great piece of legislation, and it's a legislation that's long overdue. We're continuing the conversation. Let me just share with you before we get back to the line, very quickly, just some of the comments on my Facebook page as folks have been checking in. Glenda checked in and said, look, my natural hair is not self-expression. I don't want to harm myself any longer putting lye in my hair. Why should I have to continue to put myself in harm's way? My hair is pretty all hair is professional. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth, Glenda? Yes, sister. Yes, queen. Yes. Yes, I totally understand. Totally understand. Keisha checked in and said, look, I fully support this bill. As a woman with locks, I am completely disheartened by the fact that we even have to have this conversation. So am I, Keisha. To quote our beautiful sister India Irie, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations. That's right. That's right, Keisha. That was me snapping for you, Keisha. All right, but look, I totally agree. I totally agree. But we do need to have this conversation because we're still caught up in the stigma. We're still conditioned to think a certain way about hair and how people wear it. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. We got RMA that's checking in, and thank you for your patience. And then we'll hear from Diane. RMA, thank you so much for wanting to be a part of this conversation.
Hi, Faraj. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So 2 points. I completely support this bill. I have locks myself in 6 years. It's very pretty. I put it up in a ponytail down. Every now and then I have some reaction from when I work at some companies. For example, I can have like reaction, like when my hair is down, I have another look. When I put it up, oh, your hair is pretty, because it's up, you don't see the look. But it doesn't matter. I'm happy with my locks. The discrimination is a little, it's out there, but it's not up as obvious as when I first had it 6 years ago, when I first had it. Now, the second point I want to make is when the gentleman say there are no Africans in our protest. I have been living here over 23 years. I'm originally from West Africa, Senegal, to be exact. And I have been to many African Americans protests. I have been to Jesse Jackson. I have pictures to show that I was at the 50th anniversary of the 50th March, the March of Martin Luther King. You know that
the March on Washington.
Yes, I would say I have pictures, videos, Jesse Jackson, very active. I have been to many protests, and lately I have been to Trayvon Martin when we went to downtown to protest. I have videos and pictures. And the third one, I have been with Freddie Gray when we also, Black Lives Matter. I have pictures on my shirt and everything. That to say, I just want to let you know that we are all that. I cannot go to an event and say, hey, I'm African, take my picture, I'm African. No, you cannot know the difference because I just blend in. We have the same skin color. We have the same complexion. If I don't open my mouth, nobody will know that I'm African. I do have a lot of friends come with me. They are from Africa and they are from Trinidad. The fact that the gentleman, the business owner, say that there are no Africans in our protest, and so I completely disagree. We just blend in.
Right.
So I was going to send you pictures and video, and I can still send it to you to show that I was there. But it's not fair to say, oh, they are not there. Everybody is not there, but some people are there, and I always stand behind the people because, to me, black is black. When I go out there, they don't treat me any different than they treat you guys. We are all the same because they see us as black. And I take my comment off the air.
Hey, well, thank you so much, RMA. It's always good to hear from you. Yes, please send us that information, that video. You can shoot us an email at producerforthecultureatgmail.com. Again, that's producerforthecultureatgmail.com. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I feel like there is a there's still a disconnect. And I'm glad that we're at least having a discussion to kind of shine a light on this thinking that we have. We have some real cultural issues. There's still some cultural and there are some generational tension that exists within our community about, you know, everything from how we express ourselves to our culture to you know, the direction that the community needs to go and to, you know, understanding who we are based on our history and our lineage. So we have to have more conversations around that because we're finding that once things starts to get legislated, like this, for example, you would think, oh, everybody would jump on this. Oh, yes. But then there are some folks that just say, you know what? No, no. And then I think the other part about it, which Kathy brought that up, which I think is a very good point, this idea of acceptance and conformity, that we feel like in 2020, we are going to have to conform. And it's interesting that in some industries, some workplaces, they treat you as if you are a slave, like you have to conform to their rules and everything. And I get it. I get it. You know, there's a workplace culture then in these things. But, you know, part of this legislation, I think, needs to be around allowing these cultures to be, I mean, these workplaces to be more accepting of cultures. You know, because we talk about diversity, but we only talk about diversity on paper. We only talk about diversity when it comes to the numbers or the quota. But when we talk about diversity, diversity is more than, do you have a black person there or a brown person there? Or do you have an Asian person there? No, the diversity also should come in the skills. The diversity should also come in the ideas and the leadership of these workplaces. The diversity needs to be a penetrating force throughout the whole workplace that really is open and receptive to people that don't look like white people or those who are just the people who are always in leadership and who are always in dominance. That's what I'm talking about. And so if this starts with a conversation around hair, so be it. Let's go back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. Diane, thank you so much for checking in, ma'am. What's your take?
Hey, brother Faraji. How you doing?
I'm good, Miss Diane. How are you?
I'm well. I wasn't going to call in, but...
You wasn't?
I called in because I didn't like what the delegate said.
Okay.
Because I feel that if you're down there and you're representing me, I'm not in his district.
He's a former delegate now.
Huh?
He's a former delegate.
Okay. But anyway, I feel that you should stick up for your nationality. Everybody else do in office. You know, I'm tired of hearing us saying that we can't do this because, you know, certain people, God is in control of everything.
Sure.
So that's the way I look at it. And I'm not changing my hair. I'm just like the other lady that called before the other lady. I'm not putting that stuff in, the chemicals in my hair. I have a scalp problem. That stuff used to burn my scalp. And, you know, I've had a scalp problem, but I was trying to look cute for everybody else, not for who I am. And now that I know who I am and I love who I am, I'm not putting that stuff back in my hair. If I had to take and do a suitcase on a job because you allow white men to come on the job and they wear ponytails,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's part of being diverse culture. You know, if you allow them to do that and you're not telling them to cut their hair and they have long hair, you can't tell me what to do with my hair.
Sure.
Because as long as I do my job for you that I'm supposed to be doing, you should respect me. If I wear my hair the way I wear it and it's up, I had one supervisor, and this is a long time ago when I worked for Housing Authority, and I was just coming out of a perm, and I hadn't got my locks yet. And she said, well, I wish you would do something with your hair. And I looked at her. She was black just like me.
Mm.
I said, there's nothing wrong with my hair. I said, because you don't like the way your hair, yourself, I love me. I'm not putting nothing in my hair. I can't because I have a scalp problem. I'm not trying to satisfy anybody. I have gone beyond that trying to please people, you know.
But, Miss Diane, the fact that, mm-hmm. you know, a person is kind of like whispering, a black person is whispering to you, girl, you should really do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that this is, now we're in 2020.
Right.
And we still are, like, whispering about certain things. And we're still encouraging of each other,
mm-hmm.
to wear styles that might be, one, may not be good or healthy for our hair, or two, that just may be a total, you know, it's just a like, well, you're not going to be accepted for this, or I wouldn't suggest you do that. Does that disturb you?
Yes, it does. It really does disturb me because you know, like he, you know, the former delegate, he was saying that the older people, I'm an older person. I resent that when people say, you know, they always lump all older people. I'm not like that.
All right, that's true. Now, that's true. That is very true, Ms. Diane. You're not like a lot of older people. You're right.
Right. Like Dr. Wayne Dyer says, he said, be open-minded. He, you know, in his things, he said, be open-minded and accept everything. Look at it from a positive. And that's, you know, even when I listen to Minister Farrakhan, I learned a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just not the regular ministers, but I listen attentive and open, and it opens your heart up to accept things the way it should be accepted, you know. And, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't be looking at Ellen because she's gay. But I love her message, be kind to one another. And that's all we need to do is be kind to one another.
Yeah,
if my hair's not the way your hairstyle is, that's because I don't want my hairstyle to be your hairstyle. So just accept how I look. I look beautiful to me. Maybe I don't look beautiful to you, but don't come at me and say, well, you should do something with your head. No, that's not. I would never say that to anybody, you know, and I always tell people when their hair looks nice and everything, you know, because young people, they have to live their life just like we lived our lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And
life is a journey.
You know what? Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, Ms. Diane. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much for checking in. You're absolutely right. Now, again, Ms. Diane, you're not like a lot of older people, but I do agree with the former delegate that guess what? There are a lot of people that do have some problems. A lot of older people got problems with the styles, the expression of young people. They do. They may not vocalize it. They may not openly come out and say it. But you could just look at their face. The disdain. The disturbance in their spirit, in their soul. The hatred when they see young black men wearing certain styles or young women wearing certain styles. They don't like it. And they don't know how to handle it. Instead, they criticize, they mock, they make a disparaging comments about that young person or about that young person, right? As if, like Ms. Diane said, as if people don't go through a journey of change. That's what life is a journey of change. So we all change. And you know what, folks? The fact is you can add to the positive change to someone or to their negative change simply by a word. You can change, you can set them on a course either way, simply by what you say and, of course, how you say it. So when we're talking about this expression of hair or this expression of tattoos or just self-expression things in general, we really do need to figure out what's the best way to have those conversations between the two generations, how to have those conversations. And then it requires you to look into within yourself and say, okay, is my heart in the right place for me to have this conversation with this person? You know, am I coming out of a spirit of disdain and hatred, or am I coming out of a spirit of love? Now, I know that what we have been taught and conditioned to believe that if we changed, if we made ourselves, quote unquote, acceptable, and this has been ingrained into the thinking of black people since slavery, that in order for us to be successful, we have to be acceptable. That has been ingrained in us. That's been ingrained in our great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers, and that thinking has been passed down to our parents, and that thinking has been passed down to the children. But we're coming into a place now where the children are rebelling against that thinking. We're coming to a place now where the culture is showing that thinking is no longer valid. And so that since we are at that place, why not use this moment, use this time, use this momentum to not tell people to change themselves back into a place of acceptance and conformity, but why not use this as an opportunity to force the institutions to be more receptive of the changes that are happening to us both socially and culturally. All right, let's go back to the phone line and see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. We got Darrell on the line from over West Baltimore. Darrell, talk to me. What's your take? Darrell?
You're saying about young people's style, and I've heard some of the callers. But let me ask you something, Rock. Let me give you something about myself. I've been in the military for 19 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I was born in 1968, so that's, I'll be 52 soon. This coming month. Okay, I was raised with a mother and father, okay, and grandparents. Now, my grandmother was very stern. She was very strict. She didn't play that you going out, like most young people out there do now these days, talk back to their parents and having their parents as their friend. Well, I didn't have that when I was coming up. My mother was my mother. My father was my father. They were very strict people. And they didn't play that game. They didn't play, I'm your friend.
Right.
And what I see now to this very day, how these kids around Baltimore act and how they are behaving and how they're coming up with their pants hanging on down, that was a style in prison. You know that term, how I see these young, you see it all the way around Baltimore.
Yeah.
How they have their pants hanging down. You can't tell me that's right. That's morally right. That means you're condoning that type of style, that behavior. That's not how I came up. And
no.
I think what it is for, I think this is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a cycle. You know what I'm saying? The parents are now, this generation, my daughter is 19. So she falls in somewhere in that area where, you know, they want their mothers and fathers to be my friend. I can talk sassy. I can do what I want to do. And that's that same. But what I try to teach my daughter, but see, her mother, you know, her mother who's white and I'm black, I came up differently. And her mother came up, you know, liberal and freelance.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, how these kids are now from what I see, you know, if they had that structure, instead of the mother going out when she wants to go party, because it was like that later on as I came up. I started to see these mothers out here going all different sides of the night, leaving their children with their so-called me, which is now grandfather-wise. And it was just it's just a cycle that keeps repeating itself. And now it's gotten so worse. Look how the youth in Baltimore are acting now. So basically you're condoning that. I can't condone that. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. One of it is you're saying that we're condoning it, but is it really condoning it or is it acknowledging it? And I think that's the thing.
I think you're acknowledging it, but you're also allowing it. You're condoning it.
No,
you're saying this is the right type of behavior.
No, here's the thing. Self-expression and bad behavior are two different things. So a young person like your daughter, she knows the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Those are inherent,
yes.
Right?
Of course, because I instilled that in her.
Exactly.
Her mother
opposite. Check this out. Even the worst parent instills that in their child, whether they say it or by their actions. A child knows that stealing isn't right. A child knows that shooting and killing another person is wrong. I mean, children know this inherently. And
they do know that.
Huh?
They do. They supposed to know that.
They do know that.
But now these parents are teaching them, like, it's okay. My child is a saint. When you know damn well your child ain't no saint.
Well, we know that. But see, that's sometimes, and I think, Darrell, you and I know this, some parents have their view about this, their children, that's not consistent with reality. So they might, my child is a saint. And the teacher is telling you, your child is a terror in the classroom, but you want to believe something otherwise. That's not the child's fault. That's the parents' fault.
But Faraji, let me get this out. Why do I see now the young people smoking weed like it's a natural thing now? It's like it's okay. I didn't do that when I was younger.
But you
I
did.
Didn't
Wait
do
a minute.
That.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Darrell. You may not have
now
done
you
that.
Got the parents doing that.
Well, I get that, but
and
listen,
now
listen.
The children are doing it.
But check this out, real quick. You may not have done that, but you were doing something that was, you probably did something that was contradictory to what the elders at your time did. It may not have been smoking weed. It might have been something else.
I snuck girls down in the basement.
Boom.
You know, when I was much younger because I was growing into a... And I knew that was wrong.
Right.
But...
So we can't... You
know,
so we can't...
Now I know better.
So no. I don't want us to get into a place and say, my wrong is better than your wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because if we go down that road, then that's a very, very slippery slope. I think we just have to acknowledge the fact that you got young people who have to go through the journey of life to get into a better place. They have to become mature, more knowledgeable. They have to evolve. And that's going to take some time, just like it took time for many of us to get to that place. And it's still taking time for a lot of us because we're not all there. So this is not really a condoning. It's just simply acknowledging. But when I say self-expression versus bad behavior, those are two different things. If a young person says, look, I want to put a couple of colorful strands of sister say, I want to put some colors in my hair, you know, she might just be going through a phase. It's just a phase. But if she's doing well in school, she comes home, she don't hang out with too many girls, and, you know, she does... But all she does is she's going through this expression of putting some different colors in her hair. If we try, I think, this is just for Raji talking, if we try to shut down that little bit of experimentation, we try to shut down that little bit of expression, we just, no, girl, you shouldn't do that, and she's doing everything else right, then what are we really doing? We're killing the spirit, I think, of creativity. We're killing the sense of her going through and figuring out who she is. She's not going to stay that way. You and I didn't stay a certain way. We may have did things when we were teenagers and they were not good. They may not have been righteous, all of that stuff. But then at some point in time, we change. And that's what I think that is oftentimes missing. We don't give the next generation, or we're not patient, rather, with the next generation to change. Let me get Mother Marcy in here very quickly. Mother Marcy, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I'm enjoying all of this, and I will say that as I grew up, I went to Western High School.
Yes, ma'am.
And the young ladies used to tell me they came to school just to see how I was going to wear my hair for that day, because I'm one of those people who expressed whatever. One day it might be up, one day it's down. One day it's twisted, next day it's curled. And I was like that, I'm still like that. And I've always worn my hair natural.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I have 9 children, 3 wow. daughters. Mm. And my kids would always say, Mom, because I like wild hair. They're like, what are you doing to your hair? Now, this is when they were coming up. They're older now. About 5-10 years ago, within that time span, they called me and said, Ma, guess what? You're in, because that's how people just wear their hair.
Right.
However they want.
Right.
So I love it. Now, I did have parents who said what this other lady said about her colleague. Wish you would do something to your hair. Because my mom, she was really into the perms, the coloring, the hair.
Right.
I've had white hair since I was 23 years old. Loved
white
it.
White hair. Is that
now that's all I get. I got streaks, a big patch in the front. That's what came when I was 23. Always loved it. She told me, my mom said, by the time you're 40, you're going to do just like me, dye it. Never did. I'm 66 now. I get compliments all the time. Young people, little children, men, old men, talking about how they love my hair. And I'm calling my daughters, what is it? I ain't even comb it today. And they said, Mom, it's just the coloring, how it looks, and right. It's just free. They sense your freedom. So I love the idea of the stuff that you all saying and what you were just saying to the last man about the expression. When I see the kids with the yarn in their hair, making for the different color, I say, okay. Well, yesterday I met up with a young lady. I'm the director after school program at McKim Center. And this young lady shows up, and she had these little things. And they reflected off the light. She had twists. Well, she had locks. And she had these little things in her head. And I'm talking to her, and as the light hit it, I kept seeing it. And I said, oh, I thought she had a speck of dust or something in her hair. And I said, oh, that's something. And she said, yeah, I'm trying to make this style. And she showed me on the internet, on her, you know, those Instagram stuff.
You're right.
This pictures. And she said, so you did see it. You noticed? I said, yeah. And the light is bouncing off of it. I just think it's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
The last thing I would like to say is that I had a grandmother who knew five generations above her. She lived to see five of her own generations under her.
Wow.
I was the last baby girl in her house who she raised. And she said to me, and she used to listen to her great-great-great-grandmother, who would say, oh, this next generation, they ain't no good. They this. And say it to the next one. And the next one say it to the next one. Mm-hmm. And what you, the last thing that you said to that young man about allowing the next generation. When she said to me, I was about 17. And she said, it seems to me that each generation says the same thing about the next generation. The lost generation, the X generation, they ain't this, they not doing that. She said, but it seems to me that all we supposed to do is give the next generation the tools and the skills to use those tools and to set them free, because the time belongs to them.
There it is. Mother Marcy, thank you so much for checking in. That's beautiful. My beloved sister Tracy said, we must accept ourselves, screw them institutions. We just have to take pride in ourselves and the way we look. We can't use our natural hair as an excuse for us being lazy with our grooming. Some of us are busy playing lazy and do absolutely nothing with our hair and ourselves. We need to show our magic with how we can switch and create our looks easily. We are a blessed people. I personally don't want to be where I'm not wanted. There it is, folks. There it is. Look, folks, I want to thank you for having such a great conversation with me tonight about this issue. You can expect to hear more from Councilman Robert Stokes as he's going to give us an update about this piece of legislation coming out of City Council. As also, we're going to try to reach out to Delegate Stephanie Smith to get her take on this discussion and see where this conversation is on the state level. So stick around for that. All right, folks, in terms of sticking around, make sure you stick around for In the Groove. That's coming up right behind me in a few moments. I want to thank my fantastic production team. It's Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my man Sean Don, and, of course, Dre Day for making me sound so good. And make sure you check us out at WEAA.org, where you can get all the latest podcasts of For the Culture, as well as Today with Dr. K, and, of course, the latest news that's happening at home and abroad. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz more. WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. Remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.